Today's program is brought to you by Firesider, a health tonic based on the traditional New England cure-all of raw apple cider vinegar and honey. For more information, visit firesider.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to Fun Man About It on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your co-hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. It is August 1st, which is a very, very significant day for me. I'm really excited. I'm really flying high today. Got keys to my new brewery space in Long Island City, Fifth Hammer Brewing Company. And it's a whole lot of hurry up and wait because we can't really do anything until the DOB approves our plans. But we are really, really excited. Dave and I are really happy to join the Long Island City beer scene. And I cannot wait to celebrate beer, life, and music in our tap room, hopefully sometime in early 2017. With that, Mary has some events.
Yeah, no, I'm like searching right now. Okay, the first is, if you are in New York City this Thursday, August 4th, Rockaway Brewing Company is hosting a George Washington beer tasting. Tickets are only $5. And basically, it's an evening of beer tasting featuring interpretations of America's first beer. So they're going to have brew clubs or breweries, Rockaway Brewing Company, Wartega, Brewminaries, Poor Standards, Richmond County Brew Society, Brewstoria, and the NYC Homebrewers Guild. You can find tickets, actually, if you go to Eventbrite. It's called George Washington Beer Tasting. And that is going to start... Oh, it's going to be from 7 to 9 at Rockaway Brewing Company in LIC, Queens.
So these are all beers based on George Washington's recipe, that scratch, the chicken scratch from years ago.
Exactly.
It's pretty solid.
I just remembered something else. The Homebrew Takedown 2016. So Matt Timms runs these takedowns, which include everything from... he's had a vegan one. I've been to an ice cream one. I think there was a cookie one. Anyway, a variety of kind of food... competitions takedown. So he's hosting the Homebrew Takedown on August 14th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Hill Country Barbecue in Brooklyn, 345 Adams Street. So if you go to thetakedowns.com, you'll be able to find all the information and the link to tickets. They're actually only $20 for all you can drink homebrew, $40 if you want all you can drink and a Hill Country brat, all you can eat nachos, queso, and Frito pie. I have some
fruity
that,
Frito pie.
That's man, my, I would go for that because I love Frito pie.
Some habanero mango Frito pie. That'd be all right.
I think they should have a dessert version of Frito pie.
Let's do it. Let's do a takedown. Let's do a Frito pie takedown. That should be next.
Yes.
We'll be helping to judge that, Con.
Oh, yeah? You will? Awesome. All right, so who's speaking?
Whose voice was that? Oh, my God.
This ghost judge is Stephen from Brooklyn Brew Shop.
Stephen Vallon from Brooklyn Brew Shop. You may recognize that voice also from the fall season of Beer Sessions Radio, most recent one you co-hosted this season.
I did. I love being in this room. This is my mic.
Right on.
Awesome,
that's your mic.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. We seated you correctly.
These are our mics here. We all have our seat that we, our studio is in a converted shipping container. So it's not huge, but it's comfortable. It's cute. And Chris and I have our preferred seats that you kind of get, you know, feel
happens.
Good in your seat.
It's definitely worth a trip to Roberta's just to see this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And plus the pizzas.
We're in little fish
bowls.
Fantastic.
Do you have any announcements?
The main announcement is that we started a new company, essentially, called Farmsteady.
Wait, you mean you have another company? Who are you, Stephen Vallon? This is crazy. Like, you know, all of a sudden there's this voice now, there's this body, and you're at this mic that doesn't get used very often. But you're Stephen Vallon. We've known you a very long time. We're really excited you are here and you do what you do because you have inadvertently brought us many a guest from your first company, which was...
Brooklyn Brew Shop.
Whoa.
So, yeah, and you guys have really been with us since the very beginning.
I think we went to your launch party.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So first, for people that don't, if you haven't heard of Brooklyn Brew Shop, which is seems kind of hard to believe because those kits are around the world now, right?
Yeah, we're in, I think, 26 countries.
That's amazing.
Different retailers, big and small.
So talk just a little bit about Brooklyn Brew Shop.
Sure, yeah. The whole idea is that we try to make brewing feel more like cooking. You know, less like a science project if you're not into the science, but also let you geek out if that's what you're into. But in the end, it's just want to make something compact that's easy to do, easy to understand, kind of take out the jargon, mm-hmm. and so that you can just start brewing. If you are into food, you can make beer.
I love that you've simplified it. I mean, it's simple all around. For even if you do go the science side, but you keep it in simple terms. You keep it non-threatening, and it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, we like to think that we like simplify it without dumbing it down,
right?
So that you're still doing the same process, using the same ingredients. So, you know, it's all grain, no extracts, no powders. It's same stuff that breweries use, same stuff that you'll be using over at Fifth Hammer.
Yes.
And, yeah, want to help people realize that they can make something that's as good as what they'll buy in stores on their own kitchen.
And you guys were pretty much brought the 1 gallon kits to the world. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of imitations, but you guys are the OG.
Yeah, they did not exist. We started in 2009. We just turned 7, actually.
That's which is congratulations.
Which is shocking. Yeah. I have gray hair now, a little bit. But
you don't look a day over 50.
Aw, thanks. But yeah, we started out of the Brooklyn Flea.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were one of our early customers.
Oh, yeah.
I think you were just looking for a jug because you were yes. like thinking about fermenting again.
Because yes. I was like getting into my weird, 1 gallon experimentations. Yes.
But yeah, and it's just funny. For the first maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, we would just like field the people that we thought would be like really into it were the ones that were kind of making fun of us and saying like, why would you do that? Like 1 gallon? What? I have my bucket. It's big. It's got marks on it. I could use that. That's fine. Yep. And it's like, well, yeah. How many times do you brew? It's like, well, I do like my once per like season brew. It's like, well, you can brew like every week, really. You don't have to. No judgment. Like it's fine.
Sure.
You can brew as many times as you want. But if you scale it down and make it easy, then there's really nothing stopping you. And we have people that just brew every single week, and it's incredible. Then by the end of the year, they'll have 50 something batches under their belt, and they'll really know their stuff.
Mm-hmm. And one of the big time the thing that sucks up a lot of time is getting 5 gallons to a boil. So doing that at 1 gallon at a time is really easy to do.
Oh yeah, it's
and,
just
you
like
know, there is a considerable time difference. This process is the same, but the time is different when you're heating and cooling liquid.
Exactly.
Small volumes.
Yeah, and it's just on such. It's such a more human scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like definitely.
It just makes sense. You don't have to think about simple mechanics nearly enough. Even though they're called simple mechanics, they're still pretty complex to grasp for the average kitchen person.
Another cool thing is you guys have always had, you've had, your basic beer kits, but you've also had really interesting kits. Like you've had Lobster Saison, you have a Dandelion Gruit. What are some of the other, you've had Maple... maple porter or...
Yeah, we have a chocolate maple porter.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on that coffee donut stout.
a coffee donut stout that we brewed with Chris.
Yeah.
That I think we should probably brew again.
We'll bring it again.
Together.
We'll bring it back.
From the beginning, we like to make interesting beers. We think that if you're going to spend the time, 3 or 4 hours and then 4 weeks, it should be to make a really cool beer. It's something that you're really excited to drink. And you can kind of geek out with ingredients when you're doing it on such a approachable scale. Like if you're making something for mass consumption, you have to really be concerned with like spending a nickel per bottle on a higher quality sugar or like adding a real fruit instead of, a syrup. But when you're making 10 bottles at a time, so the batch costs you an extra dollar. It's not the end of the world. You're going to be really happy about it. And when you give it to your friends, you're going to be really proud of it. And, if this were something that you're worried about, like selling into gas stations, even the nice gas stations that have the really cool, like beer cave signs, it just might not happen.
Right.
And one more on top of that, in addition to doing great things, you have brought, you've been able to do collaborations with some commercial breweries and bring some of their commercial recipes down to to 1 gallon kits for fans of those beers.
Yeah, yeah, it's been really cool. We've worked with Yeppe to turn his bikini beer from Evil Twin into a kit so you can actually recreate a 2.8% alcohol session beer. We've worked with BrewDog to turn their Punk IPA. We're going to be working with them again this fall. Mild announcement just happened there. So stay tuned for that. We've done the Sriracha Ace from Brooklyn Brewery, working with Garrett over there. And we're actually now working with Stillwater on something really cool and something pretty funky.
Awesome. Also, this just, I completely forgot about this. You guys were on an episode of the BrewDog show.
Yeah, yeah, we were.
That's a lot.
We were on the Brooklyn episode of BrewDog. So
tell us about that beer.
Yeah. We actually went
who haven't seen the show. It's pretty.
Yeah, we went to the tasting on your rooftop, and this is a crazy story.
Yeah, it was a really crazy beer that we made. They wanted to make like a quintessential New York beer, so we got together and made like a Big Apple beer. In every way. So in order to do that, we turned our building in downtown Brooklyn into a brew system. So we actually had a hot liquor tank on the roof. We had tubing going out the window and into the fifth floor where we did the mash, and then more tubing coming out a window. There were drones flying around going into the third floor where we did the boil. Then we actually fermented it in the basement, all just with many, many feet of tubing. It was
and it involved multiple apartments, right? Because you guys
We actually had to. They forced us to meet our neighbors, which in a seven floor old loft building that you've lived in for 7 years, you'd think you would know someone, but it turns out we didn't. So that was interesting. But the beer was really good. It was like 13% apple infused beer. So we actually put apple in every kind of step along the way. So we did applesauce in the mash. We kind of did bruleed apples that were diced in the boil, which is one of our favorite ways to add apple flavor, just kind of post-boil. They just steep like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we actually turn that into malted apple ice cream, which is really tasty.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And then we took Apple Jack. So like, it's an apple brandy. It's one of the oldest family-owned distilleries in the country, Laird's. And then we steeped some charred oak chips in Applejack. Then we tossed that into the, we basically strained the beer through it as it was going into the fermenter. Cool. And we were left with a big, big apple-y beer. And then we actually, Wiley Dufresne actually smoked some duck eggs. And
right, because why just keep it?
Wait, were they? They're quails.
Yes, they were quail.
Yeah, because I remember them being small. Yeah.
So that dropped basically the smoked quail egg into the bottom of the cup, and then downed it with the last sip, and it was really cool.
It was cool. We actually were there. We tasted with the smoked quail egg.
Yeah. So it was a really
fascinating,
really fun night. So yeah. I recommend everyone go home and watch it. Season 3 of BrewDogs.
Awesome. And it's a good way to meet your, a cooperative brew is cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that's like a really good concept that you could work with.
Yeah, yeah. Like meet your neighbors. I mean, because, we brew in small spaces often. We think it smells really good, but you just don't know what your neighbor is going to think. Like we have a brew system that's where we do all of our test batches and all of our beers for events also in downtown Brooklyn. And They can smell pretty dramatic in the hallway, and we just think it's the best smell in the world. Like baking bread, it's great, and then whatever you throw on the boil is fantastic. But you just don't know if someone's gonna be like, ugh, what is that?
Yes.
So if you give them some beers, you make some friends, explain stuff to them too. People just are kind of confused by smells, and if it's just a weird smell, they don't know what it is, and then they might not like it. But if you say, "Hey, look, what we're doing, this is actually making beer," and like, "Oh, that's really cool," and you make some friends, and they get some beer.
Awesome. But we'll take a break in about 5 minutes. But let's talk about. So you guys do like regular kits, and then you do seasonal kits as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of your seasonals right now, and these are what you brought in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. So we brought
our... I'm going to open one.
Please. Yeah.
We brought two of our newest styles. So this first one is our Dandelion Gruit, and this actually is a recipe in our second book. So this is actually a beer that is bittered without hops, but with dandelion greens, black peppercorns, and lemon peel. So gruits are a traditional style that use basically no hops. So, you know, in basically before they realized that hops were really good for beer, they would throw kind of the things that you would see in traditional root beers, so like sassafras, sarsaparilla, burdock root, things like that. We went at kind of a different route because those flavors can sometimes be a tad medicinal.
Yeah.
We went super floral, and there you go.
Yep. This is delicious. Because I had this at NHCE, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And I feel I had last year's version during New York City Craft Beer Week.
Yeah, that's probably the case. We like to brew with different greens depending on what's in season. So we've done this with collard greens, red chard, dandelion. Just have not done it with kale yet because we're afraid that we'll get made fun of.
What is the base?
That also might get a weird color too. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm a little afraid just from like cooking with
kale, that's what I would guess.
That it would go a weird cabbagey flavor and
like sulfury.
But we'll see. I need to do it. So the base of this is almost all pills, Belgian pills with some wheat. So I want to keep it super simple. Mm-hmm. So really no caramel malts at all. Just want to keep it really light and tart. And the lemon makes you think that it might be in some way like inoculated, but right. It's not.
Like a little, it does give
it
you that
has
tartness.
That tart for sure.
Yeah. This is, freaking
delicious.
What's
the yeast on this, you said?
The yeast, this is our house yeast. So it's, our house yeast is like a somewhat similar to a Belgian ale yeast that has a really nice, wide latitude for temperature tolerances because mm-hmm. we have to kind of plan for people in Florida and people in Finland to make the same beer.
Sure. Yeah. And you guys are sending it dry with everybody, right?
Yep. So yeah, that was a really big day for us when we figured out how to package dry yeast. But it's really great. If you go to lots of places in lots of really fantastic breweries in Europe, they use dry yeast and you know, liquid yeast is fantastic. It is a little bit more unstable. If you use a really good dry yeast and take good care of it, you can get some fantastic beer out of it.
That's mostly what I use. I mean, advantage is it has a longer shelf life. And I think dry yeast got a bad rap, back in the, 15, 20 years ago, maybe even, a little more. But today's dry yeast is a whole different ballgame.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think you can get just as good results with dry yeast as wet yeast.
The tart and the lemon character in this beer I really, really, really love. And it without being a kettle sour, without, taking the time to do any of that, I think it's a really great technique to use. There was one beer I made in collaboration with a gentleman at 508, and we took whole lemons and we quartered them and basically dry hopped the beer with these lemons quartered. And it had some of this tartness that's here. How did you do it here?
Yeah, cut them in half and just toss, give them a mild squeeze, toss them in the end of the boil.
Okay, yeah. But it's great. It's awesome.
And this kit's available now.
It's balanced.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, we have this available as mixes. So
awesome.
We didn't do it as a kit because we thought it'd be weird if you went into a store and be like, wait, I need dandelion greens now?
Right.
It's a mix for some of the more intense followers.
Awesome.
Dig it.
All right, so I guess we'll take a break. We'll be right back to talk about your next beer,
and
some fun ferments. Yes, and Farmstead.
Farmstead.
Stay tuned.
Today's program was brought to you by Fire Cider. Did your grandmother ever tell you to drink raw apple cider vinegar? It's good advice and more common than you may think. For generations of New Englanders, a tot of vinegar was a morning ritual. Taken daily, a tablespoon of unfiltered apple cider vinegar can help support immune function and digestive functions. To the base of certified organic apple cider vinegar, Fire Cider added whole, raw, certified organic oranges, lemons, onions, ginger, horseradish, habanero pepper, garlic, and turmeric. They let this mixture steep for 6 weeks at room temperature to preserve the living vinegar culture and delicate flavors of the ingredients. Lastly, they blend a generous helping of raw wildflower honey into the mix. The result is potent but balanced, offering layers of sweet, tart, and spice. Fire Cider tastes great on its own or as an addition to tea, juice, or salad. Fire Cider ships direct from their online store and is available at over 500 locations nationwide. Use their store locator to find one near you and ask for a free sample. For more information, visit firesider.com.
Welcome to the second half of today's episode of Men About It. We're here in the studio with Stephen Valland of Brooklyn Brew Shop and his new company, Farm Steady. One of the things we love about Stephen is, damn it, you were just a fermenter all the time. You ferment, you cook, and do these things. And you brought not just beers from your latest seasonals, which we're talking about your second one in a second, but you also brought some ketchup, what are the berries?
Yeah, we brought some fermented ketchup, some fermented hot sauce, some pickled gooseberries. From the Dumbo CSA, which is a fantastic CSA, as well as some sauerkraut and some red wine vinegar.
See, like all this.
I just ate a giant spoonful of fermented ketchup. That's really good.
Thanks. Yeah, it's really cool. People have no idea that you can ferment ketchup and like make your own ketchup. It's really cool. You don't just have to get the stuff in the jar.
So in your words, what is the advantage to it? What is the flavor difference of fermented ketchup versus a normal ketchup? Or is it?
Well, the flavor difference is, the great thing with anything that you make at home, the flavor difference is whatever you want it to be. So with this one, we used tomato paste, some maple syrup, a few different spices and some cayenne, and then I used basically a little bit of starter from some pickles that we had going. So we have some really spicy pickled sunchokes. So I threw in some of that liquid, and yeah, you ferment it for just a few days. It's weird seeing ketchup bubble. But yeah, it does, and you just
That's
toss
awesome.
It in the fridge.
So it sounds like there's lacto and maybe a little bit of yeast, too. I don't know.
I don't know. Would there be yeast, or?
Well, I don't know, possibly.
Certainly lacto. Oh, yeah. And then a bit of Worcestershire sauce. I must admit, I did not make the Worcestershire sauce from scratch.
That's fair.
Next time, though, I'm totally going to be fermenting. I have not, but next time I will have some stinky fish going.
Awesome.
Yeah, do you know anybody who's made any Marmite from scratch?
Not in America.
I'm searching for the American Marmite maker. If you know one, please email me.
Is that a challenge?
That is a challenge.
All right, I'm throwing down. I'm making Marmite this week. I still got to make my prison wine, too. But...
If you got 4 days.
Let's go. We're going to go back to the beer. So I just poured your other recent seasonal, Black IPA.
Yeah.
So tell us about this.
So yeah, Black IPA is brand new at BrooklynBrewShop.com.
Also delicious.
thank you. But yeah, the fun thing with the Black IPA is that, and this is one that we've kind of been tinkering with for a while, and like the difference between Black IPA and an Imperial Stout is, Black IPA is going to have that same roasty character. So the roast character of a stout, but the hop character of an IPA, it's not going to have that astringency that you get from a hoppy stout. So we do that with, in this case, with debittered black malt. So
big fan of that myself.
Debittered black malt is a fantastic grain. So it's basically black malt with the husk removed. And the husks are where you get that astringency. So astringency is also a bitter taste, but it's just a different bitterness. It's a bitterness that hits you in the back of the mouth and is not going to pair well with a really fragrant hop character.
Yeah, I agree. So if people want to buy your kits, where can they do so?
So they can buy them at BrooklynBrewShop.com, but we sell them all over the country at places.
All over 26 countries?
All over 26 countries. Yep.
And everywhere from houseware store,
Just like cute little
West Elm,
West Elm, cute little gift shops here in Williamsburg, in Williamsburg, like Whisk, as well as places like Bed Bath and Beyond. And we're actually going to be releasing a pumpkin beer with them, where we recommend that you toast the pumpkin seeds. We stole that from Scratch Brewing.
That's good.
Stan Hieronymus mentioned it at HomebrewCon, and we're trying it out, and it is really nice.
Yeah.
So that'll be a brand new. We've always kind of hesitated doing pumpkin beers. We've done them in the past. They're great, but for some reason we like to be a little contrary whenever we can for some reason. But we're doing a massive pumpkin beer release this year, and it's quite tasty. We've been drinking a lot of it this summer, which has been weird, but that's just how it goes when you're designing styles.
But yeah, that's cool though, because I think for some of us who have been brewing a while, yeah, I mean, I generally do smaller batch, like 2 to 3 gallon batches these days. But even so, like buying your kits, like I've never brewed with pumpkin seeds. So I think buying your kits, people can learn a lot. You know, it's a good like one, you know, kind of an experimental, inspirational way to try something new that you haven't tried. Get your, you know, push your limits a little bit and inspire, you know, even if you brew 5 gallons, still getting inspiration and some experience with these kits is great.
Exactly. And so, even if you have like a 4-burner stove, it means you can make 3 gallons in like 3 batches. So like basically 3 completely different beers, and you just have one pot as your hot liquor tank. So just like one big pot of water heating up pretty much the whole time. And you can make 3 completely different beers and really, really hone in on your skills.
Yeah, that's cool. Dope.
So this new project you've got going on, company number 2, Farmsteady.
Yeah.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, Farmsteady. It's it's something we've been working on for quite a while now, and really excited to have it be a real thing. But pretty much the idea was that like anytime you see house made on a restaurant menu, remembering that you have a house.
I have a house.
You could do that. So like if you're you're having ricotta on toast, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is the best ricotta, and realizing that all I need is like basically milk, citric acid, and salt, and then I can make the best ricotta I've ever tasted in under an hour. And that's just kind of
under an hour.
Yeah, in under an hour. Like
less time it would take you to go to and come from the restaurant that's making the
ingredients. Exactly. Yeah, we just wanted to help people make the things that most likely their grandparents made, but just either didn't pass on, or their parents just kind of let it go, like, you know, what lots of baby boomers did to other things. But yeah, so we just wanted to kind of do what we did with beer with the rest of food.
Yep.
And just help you realize how to make ingredients. There are a lot of like people making like meal kits and things like that. And like, that's cool. That's cooking. If you can get a recipe and try it out, but we like to think about how you can make the base ingredients and kind of the endless possibilities behind that.
So tell us about your kits that you have out right now.
Yeah, so right now we have 3 fun ones. We have a fresh cheese-making kit, so everything you need to make mozzarella, mascarpone, burrata, and ricotta. So 4 really cool Italian cheeses. We also have an everything bagel and cream cheese kit, where you actually culture your own cream cheese and make your own bagels. So everything bagels with everything spice and all.
I love everything about that.
That's just super fun. I'm from Bay Ridge in Brooklyn originally, so I have pretty high standards for bagels. I only shop at places named Hot Bagels. And then the third one is a soft pretzel and beer cheese kit, where you actually culture your own beer cheese. Which is really cool. You basically make something pretty similar to cream cheese, and then you boil down some beer and add that in along with some spices, and it's really nice.
Awesome. And both bagels, I've made bagels and pretzels at home, but they're definitely challenging, more on the challenging side of breads to make. So I think having a kit is great, especially that you guys have the, you know, the cream cheese and the cultured beer cheese.
Yeah. So it has all the dry ingredients. It even has malt syrup for the first time as a company, we're buying malt syrup, and it's not for beer. So that's been fun. You add that to the boil, and that's what helps you get that nice brown crisp crust. Use that.
Yeah.
Add some baking soda.
I mean by saying more advanced breads, but they're actually easy to make. They just are different techniques and different approach than you know, traditional bread, I guess.
Oh, exactly. So, and there are things that, you know, a lot of people use lye, and that just automatically off the bat just says, makes you say, nope, no thank you.
Yeah. Plus, it's tricky to get.
I saw Fight Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty, I used to make soap a lot, and it's kind of tricky to get lye these days, especially mm-hmm. food grade lye.
Yeah, so we try to do it a little more food safe, kitchen friendly. You can still get some really good
stuff. It's powdered Drano. You just have to sift out the metal.
Nope.
Not a recommendation.
Don't do it. Don't do it. But we are not endorsing that at all. So talk about what else do you guys have? What else are you? Can you tell us anything else you're working on or you know is coming out?
We will be doing a lot more with just food fermenting. So, you know, expect kraut kits, expect more fun combinations. Like with the everything bagel and cream cheese, that's a kit that's never existed.
Right.
And what we learned from like Brooklyn Brew Shop and making all these beer making kits is that like from a commercial standpoint, I suppose, we kind of helped popularize kits.
Yeah.
Which yeah. is always a strange thing. We get like emails from, you know, pretty big companies like, hey, you're the kit guys. You make the kits. Tell us what kits we should have. So we're just trying to expand what you can make so that it's both fun but not just a novelty. So right. that in the end, the most important thing is that if you make something, it's actually a really good representation of that.
Right.
So no shortcuts at all.
Right. And you come out of it learning something about the process and what it is.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make you the biggest snob in the world.
To that regard, tell me about the fermented hot sauce that you have in front of us right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So it's a show that we've wanted to do for a long time that we just haven't kind of driven down and gotten to. But out. I love fermented hot sauce. And how did you do yours?
Fermented hot sauce is really cool. So this fermented hot sauce is made with cherry peppers and a little bit of carrot that you basically just dice up and then let it sit. I think with this one, I used also a little bit of kraut starter, but you don't really need the kraut juice or the liquid from kraut.
Because you might be getting it from the carrot, right?
Exactly. The carrot and the peppers, they have enough on there. Yeah. But if you have stuff hanging around, it basically just shortens it by a few days, and you can do that. So you let it sit for, you know, 1 to 2 weeks, stir it gently. So put a weight on it inside of a jar, mason jar. And then
you want to keep it submerged.
Like, yeah, you want to keep it submerged. Mm-hmm, yeah. And the thing with like any food ferment is you want to basically keep the solids underneath the brine level because yeah. then they're not going to mold. Yeah.
And so these peppers, you've not diced them or emulsified them yet.
These were roughly cut. So not they weren't pulverized okay. by any means. If you can do whole peppers, a lot of people, if they do whole peppers, then you're going to let them ferment for a much longer period of time.
Unless you like pierce them or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So with this, it was super simple. Like, you know, basically 2 weeks probably was fine. After a week, I was probably traveling. And that's the fun thing with these food ferments. Like, you know, you keep an eye on them, but you know, you don't have to be too regimented. As long as you just open it up every few days to make sure there's no mold, basically, and just if they're, you know, just keep it stirred every so often. And then I threw it in a Vitamix, pulverized it so that it has like a kind of a sriracha consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful after that. Don't just take the lid off the Vitamix and stick your face in because you basically made mustard gas. I knew this going into it, but I still did it, and I was mildly knocked out.
Coughing for like an hour.
Yeah. So then just when you're done, basically just toss it in the fridge overnight, and you're good to go, and it's pretty tasty. I've been putting it on absolutely everything.
This is a good one.
I have some more with like some Thai chilies going on.
It has
on
like a sweetness to it on the back end of this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was
what was the ratio of carrots to pepper?
Really just like a pound of carrots to, I think, like 2 carrots.
You mean a pound of peppers?
A pound of peppers yeah. to like two small carrots.
Gotcha.
So the carrots give a little earthiness, but a little sweetness.
Yeah.
And I think the advantage to like fermenting, you know, like fermented ketchup and fermented hot sauce is that you get a little more depth of flavor than you would in a non-fermented mm-hmm. you know, of the same product. So
yeah, and I feel
the
like
same thing.
And with I feel like with ketchup and with probably more so with hot sauce, it's a really personal thing. Mm-hmm. Like
Absolutely.
I know Erica, my wife, and I, and partner in Brooklyn Brew Shop and Farm Steady, we have like our own family of hot sauces that we buy. Like we honeymooned in Belize and we only buy Marie Sharp's hot sauce. We buy a case of it and like we only have this Belizean hot sauce. And like that's, we've decided as a family, this is our hot sauce. Yeah. And if you start making it yourself, you know, you can flirt with different flavors and then you can make your own family hot sauce.
Well, I think for things like that, there's a place for it. Like I Grace's hot sauce on Jamaican patties is like all I want on Jamaican patties. Like with Mexican food, I like Chuchululu and other things, and Chinese or Asian, we go, back to Sriracha and then there's just a world of other flavors that we dice through. And with ketchup, I feel like that's a really, really tricky one. I feel like straying at all from the standard mass-produced ketchup is like...
Exactly. Those are fighting words.
Want it for certain things. It's just like...
But that's interesting because I never had any other brand besides like Heinz or maybe like generic ketchup when I was little.
And I think the problem
until recently, and man, like the world of ketchup is much wider than, you know, I grew up on, and it's amazing. Like I've actually discovered other ketchups that are now my favorite ketchups.
Yeah, and I feel like if you're like going to divert from Heinz, like it has to be really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you're just gonna make an enemy.
Yeah. And Heinz, I think Heinz is still. I mean, I don't love ketchup.
Solid.
I think
it's standard.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
But
I think you can get a lot more interesting.
Yeah, and like after, like I kind of want to make it spicier, so I kind of want to do another one with cayenne. And like you would never even think that you can customize your ketchup. Like ketchup is
curry
ketchup,
ketchup is great on brats.
Mm-hmm.
And, like we have it all the time with the at Rosamundi. At least
exactly.
I do. Mary opts for Sriracha's hot sauce straight.
I like also stuff. The jalapeno. Like it's like the jalapeno version of ketchup. You get it. I get it at Mark Burger on St. Mark's Place. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's really delicious, mixed with mayonnaise and fries.
Hot dog.
On fries.
I mean, ketchup. It's not for breakfast anymore.
So you also brought a kraut, right?
Yeah, we brought a kraut. So this is like a mix of a green cabbage and a red cabbage. That's why it's pink. A little bit of mustard seeds. Just a handful of, not a handful of Szechuan peppercorns, but just a couple of Szechuan peppercorns. But pretty standard. Not exactly like a caraway kraut, but, you know, a pretty simple kraut. So we can...
How long did you let the kraut ferment?
So that one was, I think, 10 days, and then it went in the fridge. When it's a super hot summer, you can do it a little faster. Yeah. You want to be a little careful that it doesn't, you know, go crazy. So that one's pretty tasty as well. I can grab that.
Tell us about pickling the berries.
The pickling. So the pickling berries is the only one here that is not fermented. So when people probably don't realize that pickles can be fermented or not fermented, and like the basic difference is fermented pickles, you're creating an environment that is good for bacteria, and the bacteria create the pickles with...
It's good for good bacteria.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But with non-fermented pickles, you're basically creating an environment that will destroy all bacteria, good or bad. And you're doing it with the flavors that you're including. So the gooseberries have just a nice simple brine with vinegar and... some sugar. We actually used our own vinegar. We have some apple cider vinegar, which is great if you have some extra hard cider lying around.
Yes, or if you let your hard cider, you know, stay at the back of the closet or the airlock. You know, there's a lot of ways to get cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We have like a pet cider that every so often we just like loosen the cap on, and we picked it up in the Catskills from a one-armed man in a parking lot. He's like, "This is the cider for you."
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Can't turn that down. So yeah. it's made some good vinegar too.
So where can people get? Are Farm Steady kits? You have a website, Farm Steady website.
Yeah, it's farmsteady.com. We're really just shipping out our first orders to retailers now. They literally have just started shipping out this week. So for the best way to get it, at least for now, is at farmsteady.com. And we have those three kits and soon many more.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I look forward to future kits and all kinds of seeing what else you guys do with Farm Steady. I think that's super exciting because it is definitely a unique thing. And all three of those things, I feel like, are intimidating to people, and they shouldn't be.
Right.
I'm excited for your prison wine kits. I'm wondering if you will ship to prison.
It'll just come in a black, unmarked bag.
So, yes, tune in next week where we talk about... Next week is prison wine, right?
I think so, yeah.
Rachel's not with us tonight, so we're totally lost. But next week, we're going to talk about prison wine. And I'm going to try some Marmite.
You're going to try Marmite? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I better take some time off work. I think you have to sit by see this reduced yeast... Boil it and reduce it for like days with a lot
of spice. Hey, we got a slow
cooker. Constant, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Are you calling me slow?
So stay tuned next week for Prison Rhyme.
BrooklynBrewShop.com, FarmSteady.com.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Battle with no winners, war with no end. On the banks of forgiveness, you clutch to your burden.